Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 5. Darkness was settling quickly on Golden Gate Park when Jim, Mercedes, and Matt began to climb the hill next to Stowe Lake. Andrew had gone ahead to scout the place out, which unfortunately had caused Jim to get hopelessly lost in the massive park. Andrew had to send GPS coordinates to Mercedes' phone to guide them to the proper place. They had all dressed for the occasion, in sneakers and warm jackets. Once the fog began to roll over the park, it would be chilly and wet. Andrew had been busy while he waited for them. He had cleared out a small area, removed fallen branches and leaves, and rolled up a couple of rocks for them to sit on. Jim took off his backpack and began setting up the magic supplies, while Mercedes and Matt watched. Mercedes looked at her watch.
"How long do you think this is going to take, Jim? I'd sort of hoped to head over to Charlie's later. He's been at a security convention in Oakland all day, and I know how he hates it over there."
"I don't know. It all depends on if this animal is willing to cooperate or not. Any sign of it, Matt?"
Jim put out a few candles in a circular pattern on the ground, while Andrew held the flashlight for him.
"Not yet. But it's not like I've ever had any control over when it comes and goes."
"I know that, but you've never tried to make it come either. I'm hoping it will show up when we do the ritual. It's not that hard. As long as the spirit stays within the pattern, it should be visible to the rest of us. This isn't like the sign we made in the basement, so it's free to leave at any time. Once it's visible, we can cast the spell I got from Darcy. It should allow it to speak to us for a while."
"How long?" Matt asked.
"I don't know, a few minutes or more. If it fades, we'll try doing the spell again. Look, kid, I'm not a wizard. I'm just trying to follow the instructions in this book. It's not a set of damn IKEA instructions."
"No, of course not."
Matt cleared his throat and looked out into the night. On one side of them, they could see the lights from the baseball field at the east end of the park. Below them, the small lights of the Japanese tea garden glittered, but up here, everything was dark. They knew the fog would soon surround them and conceal them completely. Matt moved up to Mercedes and nodded his head toward Jim.
"So, if he's not a wizard, what is he exactly?"
"He's kind of hard to describe. The most important thing for you right now is that he can see and communicate with spirits. He's probably your best chance to communicate with your phantom cat."
"Uh-huh."
Matt fell silent, waiting for Jim to finish. He didn't know what to think. Jim lit the candles and sat down next to them on one of the rocks. He pulled out some herbs in a small bundle, lit them with his lighter, and began slowly moving them back and forth. The smell coming from them was strong, but not unpleasant, and reminded Matt of some of the pot Wolf kept in his room.
"All right, Matt. Now, try calling it," Jim said in a low tone as he held up the book he had gotten from Darcy. "How do I call it?"
"Think about it. Will it to come? To me, it works best if I know the name of a spirit. But since we don't, why not just call it Cougar?"
"Okay."
Matt rubbed his hands together, steeling himself a bit. As he began speaking, he could hear Jim whispering the spell under his breath, while still moving the burning herbs back and forth. The smoke from them rose in a little cloud and began to mix with the fog as it started to engulf them and the temperature dropped.
"Kuga?"
Matt said.
I'm speaking to the Kuga that has been following me. Please, Kuga, if you can hear me, come. Come and let us talk to you."
"The border between the worlds is blurred in this circle. You will be seen and heard," Jim said, looking out into the fog. "The cougar spirit who knows Matt well, come to the circle when you hear the bell."
He pulled a tiny bell from his pocket and rang it 3 times. It made a small, crisp sound. Mercedes moved closer to Andrew and whispered,
"So, you don't think it's going to become really physical, do you? Like, actually be able to attack us if it wanted to?"
"I don't know, but I don't think it wants to attack," Andrew also whispered. "I mean, it could have hurt Matt 100 times. It didn't."
"No, but it might not care for us."
Andrew bit his lip a moment.
"You're right, but I doubt that."
"Come. Please come, Kuga,"
Matt said again, but before he could continue, Jim felt the strange sensation of wind against his face that always signaled a spirit approaching.
"It's coming," he said.
They all looked at the center of the pattern of candles. A shape began to form out of the flickering lights and the shadows from the fog. It became darker until a large brown cougar stood between the small candles. It stood with its paws on either side of the candles, making very sure not to step on one. Matt looked impressed, even though he had seen it before. Somehow, seeing it appear like this made it seem even more mysterious than it already was. The animal looked at him, and then let its gaze wander over each of the rest of the team. It opened its jaws, and from the mouth came a pleasant, if slightly hoarse, voice. It reminded Mercedes of one of her cousins who had always been told she sounded like a Hollywood seductress.
"Matt," the cougar said, "finally you call me."
Matt didn't know how to respond to that. He looked around at the rest of them.
"You guys hear it too, right? And see it? I'm not nuts?"
"Nope, we see her."
Andrew squatted a bit, so he became eye level with the animal. "And we're very pleased to meet you." The cougar looked at him, seeming to enjoy the respectful tone in his voice.
"But why are you all here?"
it asked. "This is supposed to be between me and my warrior."
"Your warrior?"
Matt said.
"I'm not your warrior."
"Of course you are. I'm drawn to the greatest warrior in the land, and to him I bestow my gifts. We're part of each other now."
The animal bent its head slightly, looking at its claws.
"I'm your totem."
"But I'm not a great warrior. I don't even like to fight."
Matt still looked confused.
"So you haven't defeated many enemies, won great battles, slain countless foes?"
the cougar asked. It tilted its head a bit, as if unsure of itself.
"I'm always drawn to someone who has fought and won many battles."
"No."
"Well, only in Eternal Wanderer,"
Matt said in a hesitant voice.
"What is Eternal Wanderer?"
the cougar said, puzzled.
"It's a game, a computer game, online. You fight battles and go on adventures and..."
Matt trailed off, then looked straight at the cougar.
"That's it, isn't it? The first time I saw you, we had just defeated the Lich King. We'd gotten tons of gold and hecked our way through the deepest levels of his dungeon."
"What the hell is he talking about?"
Jim said. Mercedes knelt down next to him, whispering a quick explanation of online computer games into his ear. Jim burst out laughing.
So that's why Darcy was so puzzled. Oh, man, an online warrior. Oh, this is rich.
The cougar looked at Jim, and its face turned into a scowl.
Do not mock me, Jim Corrigan. I know of you and your work in this city, and I would think you, of all people, should know not to disrespect a powerful spirit.
Sorry.
Jim dabbed at his eyes.
Didn't mean it like that.
But what about me? Matt said. I'm probably not what you had in mind. Like I said, I don't even like to fight in real life. It's just in the computer games. Can't you, I don't know, find someone else?
Unfortunately, once we're bonded, it's for life, the cougar said. I've granted you my powers, and they are yours until you die, hopefully many years from now.
So what? I mean, what do I do? What does it mean for me?
Matt sat down on the ground. He felt like his legs couldn't carry him anymore.
Do I have to become some kind of tribal fighter?
In a way. Each of the women and men I have granted my blessings has used them differently, but all of them were pure of heart and had good intentions. You will use the powers to help those in danger, protecting the weak and leading the strong. And yes, you will aid any tribe who should come to need it, if they or I ask it of you.
But I'm not even in a tribe. I'm from Australia, Matt said.
He leaned forward so they had their faces closer to each other.
Well, now you're part of the cougar tribe.
The animal put its head forward, licking Matt's hand.
I'll be with you from now on, whenever you need me. You won't need to perform this kind of ritual. You will be able to see and hear me without any help.
Matt swallowed.
But...
The cougar shook its head.
No more buts. You talk more than any other warrior I've ever bonded with. Take heart. You and I will make a great team. If nothing else, I have granted you your fondest wish.
My wish?
Matt shook his head, not understanding.
You have always been alone. You longed for being a part of a community. Now, you are part of a tribe. You longed to be popular, to be special in the eyes of others. I have now granted you abilities that will indeed make you special.
I guess you're right. But how will I know where to use those powers?
The cougar smiled, a very human-looking smile on the animal face, and gave him a wink.
You'll know.
With that, it turned and walked out of the circle, fading out of view. Matt, however, could still see it for a few more seconds before it vanished into the fog and was gone.
Well,
Jim reached forward and began snuffing out the candles.
That was interesting. It's not often I get to hear the spirits talking to somebody else.
Andrew helped Matt to his feet, while Mercedes began packing up the supplies.
You okay?
He asked. Matt nodded.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I got the answers to why I can do the things I can, but not really any idea of what I'm supposed to do with them. Well, I might have one or two ideas,
Jim said, lighting a cigarette now that the ritual was over and the smell of tobacco wouldn't interfere with the herbs.
Why don't you drop by the house tomorrow? Let's have a talk about it. You probably had enough revelations for one night.
Okay.
Matt began looking around the top of the hill.
So, how do you get down from here?
I'll walk with you, Mercedes said.
She put her arm under Matt's and led him down the slope.
You guys can find your own way home, right?
I'll tell Charlie you said hi.
When they had disappeared into the fog, and Jim and Andrew had gathered the last things, making sure they didn't leave any embers from the candles or any traces of the magic circle, Jim looked at Andrew.
I've got something I want to discuss with you, partner to partner.
Andrew put his hand on his arm.
I think I know what you're thinking. I had the exact thought myself. He can't walk around unchecked. He needs somewhere to be. A team. Plus, don't take this the wrong way, but we do kind of have a vacancy.
Andrew sighed.
I know what you mean.
Don't think of it as replacing Feline. No one could ever do that. Think of it as us allying ourselves with someone with superpowers and giving him a focus for his powers at the same time. A place to do something good.
Andrew began walking down the hill, with Jim following close after.
I am glad you asked me, instead of just hiring him on the spot.
I do listen to you once in a while, you know. I understood your concerns, and I want you to feel like a partner.
Jim took a final drag on his cigarette, took it out of his mouth, looked at the ember, and then put it out in his own hand. He felt the sting in his skin as the ember burned through it. Andrew looked at him as they walked.
What the hell are you doing?
Testing something, in a non-lethal way. I figured this would be just as good as cutting myself with a knife. Jim raised his hand to his face and looked at the skin. The burn was already beginning to vanish and fade, the pain going away in just a few seconds. He exhaled, feeling more relief than he would have imagined.
Well, it still works, at least on a small scale.
You mean you're still immortal?
That's my guess, yeah. Although, of course, if I take a knife to the heart and find out it's only surface wounds I can heal now, that's going to be a nasty surprise.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.